his manhood for 1 year. He became a wonderful dance instructor, and it made him that much more graceful in combat. I should know. I'm the one who cursed him, after all.
When are we going to get to the stabby stuff? Aru had asked last Wednesday.
Vajra, who had decided to become a glowing pen instead of a lightning bolt for that day, burned brighter at her question. Boo's gaze had narrowed.
One should not want to rush toward violence.
Today, as she walked home, she thought about the last message she'd received from Minnie. Aru still didn't have a phone, so they couldn't text, but that's where the stone elephant came in handy. When she'd checked the elephant's mouth this morning, Minnie's letter was simple.
How am I going to train today? I'm 99% sure I've contracted bubonic plague. I even saw a rat yesterday.
Aru laughed, remembering it, but the laugh quickly died in her throat when she saw who was walking just a few feet in front of her on the sidewalk. The new boy at school. Aiden Acharya had enrolled just last week, which seemed really impractical, considering that winter break was just about to start. But according to the school's best gossip, Poppy, his family had been very convincing. Read, they were super rich. He was having a pretty easy time adjusting at school, which made sense considering he looked like that. Until recently, Aru hadn't given much thought to what made a boy good-looking. Just the basic standards of not sounding like a braying donkey and not smelling like a pair of cursed sneakers ruled out half the guys in her class. Aiden, on the other hand, had dimples and curly black hair. And he smelled nice. Not like soap or deodorant, but like clean laundry. Plus, his eyes were really dark and framed by even darker lashes. She hadn't spoken to him yet. What would she say? All she knew was that he and his mom had moved into the large house right across from the museum. Yesterday, his mom and her mom had started talking on the street. Indian people did that all the time.
Oh, you're Indian? Me too. How about that?
Aiden had been standing with his mom. At one point, it looked like he had seen Aru watching them from the museum window. Aru had flashed her most attractive smile. She even sucked in her nose, before remembering that she was wearing a pair of metal horns. Boo had insisted that she wear them whenever she was at home. What if you need to wear a helmet while fighting demons? Your neck needs to be strong. Aru had panicked, walked straight into the fridge, and fallen flat on her face. She then continued to lie on the kitchen floor for another hour. She still wanted to strangle Boo. Now Aru was squeezing her eyes shut in embarrassment over Aiden possibly having seen her in horns when she banged her nose into something. His backpack. She looked up. Aiden looked down. He was at least a foot taller than her. In the afternoon light, his skin looked golden.
Hi, he said.
Aru opened her mouth, closed it. Come on, Aru. You walked through the kingdom of death. You can talk to a... He smiled.
Don't I know you?
She choked. Why did her voice suddenly seem so deep, out of nowhere? She sounded like the weatherman. She made a fist and hit her throat, which only made her cough. Say something. But the only thing her brain could come up with was,
how you doing?
No, thought Aru. Definitely do not say that. This was what she got for marathoning friends. Aru smiled. And then she opened her mouth.
I know where you live.
Aiden stared at her. She stared at him.
You what?
Demons. Goodbye.
She had never run home so fast in her life. 43. Why? Stupid words.
You didn't,
said Minnie. This was the fifth time Minnie had said this. Minnie, if you say that again... A cackle from Urvashi made Aru shut up. On Fridays, their first class was traditional dance, specifically Bharatnatyam, and etiquette with Urvashi. But Aru had arrived looking so shaken after her encounter with Aiden that Urvashi had demanded to know what happened. When Aru had told her, Urvashi had laughed hard enough to cause a lightning storm. Several merchants from the night bazaar had come to complain that she'd ruined their stock of raincoats, actual coats that shed rain. But the minute Urvashi had smiled at them and cooed, "What's the problem again?" They'd forgotten what they were going to say, and they went away dreamy-eyed. Now Urvashi had called in Hanuman and Boo, and forced Aru to tell the story again. Hanuman hadn't laughed, but his mouth had twitched. Boo was still trying to pull himself together. "I remember Arjuna being a lot more," started Urvashi.
"Suave," offered Boo.
"Charming,"
chimed Hanuman.
"Good-looking?"
suggested Minnie.
"Minnie!"
said Aru.
"Sorry,"
she said, blushing.
"You know, in my day, you could just swoop in and take the person you liked,"
said Boo.
"It's far more efficient than talking."
"I'm pretty sure that's called kidnapping,"
said Minnie.
"It was romantic."
"It's still kidnapping."
Hanuman clapped.
"Come, Pandavas. It's time for strategy lessons."
Pandavas. The word still sounded strange in Aru's head, especially because she knew that it wasn't going to stop with just her and Minnie. The sleeper was still out there, and as the danger grew, more Pandavas would be required. She had even gotten a glimpse of them in her vision. All girls. So where were they? Sighing, Aru took off the bells around her ankles and handed them to Urvashi. Urvashi patted Aru's head.
"Don't worry, my dear. When I'm done with you, you will fell men with a laugh."
Aru didn't want to kill the guy. Just maybe talk to him? Why was everything the worst? As Aru and Minnie left Urvashi, the Night Bazaar dance studio closed up behind them. Urvashi refused to rent space anywhere, because I have an image to maintain, and I'm not going to put my feet on a floor that's been stained by other people's shadows. Which meant that three times a week, the sky of the Night Bazaar opened up to allow Urvashi to descend in a celestial blue lotus as big as the museum. When the girls finished their lesson, the petals of the lotus closed over Urvashi, and she floated back to the heavens. Hanuman's lessons were a lot more rugged.
"This way,"
said the monkey-faced demigod, bounding ahead of them. Aru and Minnie trudged dutifully after him. Hanuman liked to use the terrain of the Night Bazaar. Today, he took them around the orchard of dream fruit and beneath an archway of gleaming silver feathers.
"Those feathers come from Chakra, or moonbirds,"
said Hanuman.
"A feather plucked from a moonbird will glow brightly, but only for a moment. If you wait until the feather is shed naturally, it will forever bring you light."
Sure enough, the feathered archway never seemed to dim. On the other side of it, the landscape was steep and more treacherous. They peered down into a deep canyon with a wide river rushing through it. Far below, on the opposite bank, a shiny crown hovered in the air.
"Pandavas!"
called Hanuman over the roar of the river. Minnie turned white. Aru remembered that her sister had a horrible fear of heights. Not of spiders, though she wasn't wild about spiders either.
"Imagine that it's your duty to retrieve the crown," said Hanuman. "How would you get to it?"
"Find another way?" offered Minnie.
"Trick the other side into bringing it over here?" suggested Aru. Hanuman frowned.
"Always choose the simplest route. Aru, you have a tendency to choose complication over simplification.
Or maybe I just don't want to drown? Minnie nodded vigorously.
In my day, I built a bridge. I called on my friends to help. We gathered rocks and threw them into the ocean so I could get across,
said Hanuman. I don't have any friends like that, said Aru.
Hey,
said Minnie. Besides you, I mean.
What about changing shape? Asked Hanuman. Always consider how you might adapt to your surroundings, rather than forcing your surroundings to adapt to you.
But we can't change shape, said Minnie.
Use your tail, said Hanuman.
His tail curled over his shoulder.
We don't have tails.
She stuck out her butt so he could see.
Oh, said Hanuman.
His tail went limp. At that moment, an alarm went off. Hanuman tensed. Before, he'd been the height and build of an average man. At the sound of the alarm, he shot up in size, snatching up Aru and Minnie in the process, so that they could stand in his open hands.
I'm gonna throw up,
said Minnie, crouching on Hanuman's palm.
Whoa,
said Aru. It took her a moment to get her bearings, but she had an incredible view of the entire night bazaar. It looked like thousands of cities were attached to it. From here, Aru could see the entrance line, which stretched into a bank of clouds. At security, the bull-headed Raksha had been replaced by a Raksha with the shell of a tortoise. She could even spot the brilliant jewel that was the Court of the Seasons. The alarm blared once more. The sky changed from the split colors of daytime and nighttime. Now it was a uniform black.
Something has been stolen, said Hanuman, sniffing the air. You must go to your homes immediately. I'll send word by Monday.
Wait, what's been stolen?
Asked Aru. She craned her neck over the side of Hanuman's hand, as if she could catch sight of a runaway thief. She felt bad for whoever had lost whatever it was, but at least she wasn't the only one who'd had the worst day ever.
It's something even the gods fear, said Hanuman darkly.
It took only 3 steps for Hanuman to cross from one end of the night bazaar to the other. He let Aru and Minnie down near the stone door carved with elephants. The door had been created just for them, when their moms had decided it was high time the girls started their training.
Be safe,
said Hanuman. He patted their heads with the tip of his pinky, which was still big enough to almost crush them, and then strode off in the other direction.
At least we have some free time, said Minnie.
Yeah, said Aru. But at what cost? 44.
Woof.
Minnie was lying upside down on Aru's bed. It was a Saturday, the day after the entire night bazaar had panicked about something being stolen. Aru had checked the stone elephant's mouth every hour, but there hadn't been any news from Hanuman yet. Boo was acting particularly nervous. He was probably still mad because the neighbor's cat had snuck up on him and stolen 2 of his tail feathers. Aru had watched him chase the poor feline down the sidewalk shouting,
I am a mighty king! You have insulted my honor!
But even his vengeance, he nipped the cat's tail and hit her food bowl, hadn't been enough to calm him down.
Are you coming over tonight? My dad is making punchit, said Minnie excitedly. It's my favorite.
Aru wanted to, but it was the last night before her mom was going to leave on another archaeological dig. They still hadn't talked about what had happened between her and Aru's dad. Sometimes Aru could feel her mom attempting to get the words out before her shoulders slumped. It meant a lot that at least she was trying. Aru still didn't like it when her mom went away, but now they both tried harder to enjoy the time that they did have together.
I'll call every day, and you'll have Sherilyn too,
her mom had promised. But you have to understand that I'm doing this for you.
I know, Aru had said, and she'd meant it. Her mom was insistent that somewhere out there, just waiting to be found, was an ancient object that might help them defeat the sleeper once and for all.
How do you know he won't come after you? Aru had asked.
Trust me, Chaklu, her mother had said, sighing. I'm the last person he wants to see.
Aru knew how important it was for her mother to continue searching. She understood now that her mom wasn't only securing artifacts for the museum, but also trying to secure their future. She was looking for answers, and a way to fix her mistakes.
Still, it was hard for Aru to go to Minnie's house and see how she was fussed over and coddled and always tucked in at night.
Love looked different to everyone.
Boo perched on Aru's feet.
Why aren't you reading poetry or practicing war strategies? You've got to be diligent with your training, he said.
Boo, it's Saturday.
The sleeper is gone, but not defeated. Who knows what kind of trouble he's getting up to?
Boo said.
Minnie poked him with the death danda, laughing when his feathers ruffled and he hooted like an angry owl.
Fiendish child.
Boo preened himself, taking dramatic pauses to glare at them every now and then.
He's called the sleeper for a reason. It could be a long time before you hear from him again. That is how well he hides. But you will hear from him again. Until then, other beings, darker and more dangerous than the ones you faced, will come out and try to test their strength.
Killjoy, muttered Minnie.
Aru rubbed her shoulder. It was still sore from their last training exercise, and she was pretty sure Hanuman had sprained her neck just by patting her head.
Can I live? It's Saturday, complained Aru, frustrated.
You won't if you don't take this seriously.
We are taking this seriously, said Aru. In the stories, the Pandava brothers partied half the time and fought the other half. I'm just keeping with tradition.
She turned to Minnie.
I can't come over today, but how about tomorrow?
Should I bring Twizzlers or Twix bars?
Twizzlers, said Minnie.
Absolutely ungrateful, started Boo.
This was his favorite speech. Aru almost had it memorized. Ungrateful children. The gods would be ashamed to see that this is how you choose to apply yourselves.
But just then, there was a howl outside the museum. Minnie bolted upright.
Did you hear that?
The girls ran to the window. Boo fluttered after them.
Since it was December, Aru had to rub some frost off the latch in order to open it.
Aru leaned out, scanning the street. On the sidewalk, a massive wolf paced restlessly. It was carrying something in its mouth. A heavy golden bow and arrow.
No passers-by on the sidewalk took any notice.
Aru had a bad feeling about that bow and arrow. It glowed with its own light, the way Didi and Vajra did. Was it a celestial weapon?
Hello? Called Minnie. Giant wolf!
Why are we the only ones that can see it? Asked Aru. Should we go down? Vajra flew into her hand, shifting between knife and sword and arrow.
Not that Aru could do anything with any of those weapons.
What's it holding? Asked Minnie.
Right before their eyes, the wolf changed shape. A blue light burst and crackled all around it. The next instant, it became a girl. She was taller than any guy in Aru's class, but still looked about 12 years old. She had hazel eyes, tan skin, and long brown hair. She clutched the bow.
That's not good, said Minnie.
The girl paused, sniffing the air. Was she smelling
them?
A noise must have startled her, because she twitched and turned into a blue bird. She picked up the bow in her beak and flew off. Downstairs, the stone elephant began to blare its warning siren. It was the other world's call signal. A call for help? Aru had the sneaking suspicion that the stolen item everyone was looking for just might be a golden bow.
How could no one else have seen that? Demanded Minnie.
Aru had no idea. But then she looked across the street and spotted someone standing in the window. Aiden. From his surprised expression, it was obvious that he had observed the wolf girl bird too. But that didn't make any sense. Why would he be able to see something from the other world?
Aru frowned as she shut the window and pulled the drapes down.
This should be entertaining, said Boo, chuckling.
What's so funny? Asked Minnie.
Shouldn't we do something about her? Asked Aru. Who was that?
That, said Boo, was your sister.
Aru's eyebrows skated up her forehead.
What?
She and Minnie said at the same time.
But she's a beast, said Minnie, shrinking.
She's a beast, said Aru admiringly.
And she probably stole that, said Minnie. She's a thief.
You know what they say, said Boo. Can't choose your family.
Minnie started knocking her head against the doorframe.
But we just finished a quest, she moaned.
Aru looked beyond her to the now empty sidewalk and the near wintry light. The world still smelled like almost Christmas. There was a hint of frost in the air. But there was something else, too. A current of magic that Aru could feel singing through her veins.
Beside her, Minnie had begun to tug at her hair. The death danda, as if it were matching her mood, hopped and danced, then turned from a purple compact into an imposing stick at the blink of an eye. As for Vajra, the lightning bolt had stayed silent, waiting. Lately, it had stopped assuming the form of a ball. It now preferred to take on the shape of a slim golden bracelet around her wrist.
Boo soared near the ceiling, gleefully shouting,
I told you so. This is why you need to do your homework. Evil strikes whenever it pleases.
In spite of herself, Aru smiled. She was Aru Shah, a reincarnated Pandava, daughter of the god of thunder. She had her best friend at her side, a slightly deranged pigeon, and the other world's knowledge to guide her. She could handle whatever came next.
What are you thinking, Aru? Asked Minnie.
Aru tapped Vajra at her wrist. The bracelet turned into a gigantic bolt of lightning that stretched from the floor to ceiling. Aru frowned. Okay, maybe she wasn't 100% sure that they could handle whatever came next, but she was kind of sure, which was way better than last time. This is Sunila Nankani. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Aru Shah and the End of Time, a Pandava novel, Book 1, by Roshani Choksi. If you would like to learn more about Aru and Minnie's world, please see the glossary included in the bonus PDF. This program was directed by Garrett Scott, executive producer Nick Martorelli, text copyright 2018 by Roshani Choksi, production copyright 2018 Penguin Random House LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.